This is Akashwani. In the program Insights, now we bring you a discussion on features of Immigration and Foreigners Bill 2025. The participants are K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Achinta Bora, journalist.
The Immigration and Foreigners Bill 2025, which was passed by the Lok Sabha today, deals basically with the foreigners and matters related to immigration. The bill has been brought making comprehensive changes and abolishing four existing laws. Though the bill, the government wants to ensure that no one enters in the country illegally and those who does so face stringent action. Sir, now please tell us, what is this in a salient features of the bill?
Yeah, Achinta, thank you. As you rightly pointed out, three of these acts which were in place were pre-colonial laws. The 1920 Passport Entry into India Act, the 1939 Registration of Foreigners Act, and the 1946 Foreigners Act. And in fact, the government, and of course, the one in the year 2000, the Immigration Carriers Liability. So the government wanted to consolidate and replace these acts, basically to simplify regulation for people to come into India, reduce the bureaucratic hurdles, and increase the ease of doing business. In fact, in response to the debate in the House, which went, the Home Minister was very categorical that of the 36 clauses that the new bill has, it brings down from 46 that existed in four separate acts. So all of them were consolidated and brought in one place. So the debate went quite rare. As for the highlights, as I said, the objective, as you pointed out, is to enhance balanced national security, then international cooperation and administrative efficiency. This is the whole idea, how you deal with it, especially vis-a-vis immigration. And it will introduce several key objectives. One of them, of course, keeping in mind increasing global migration trends, which is all of us, we are know, people travel from India to other countries and people, foreign countries come to India for various purposes, including tourism, work, business, so on. In fact, the Home Minister did make a mention about the numbers have gone up in the last decade from almost 8 crore people traveling up and down, which means from India to abroad and from abroad to India together, something like that in the last. So that, but that also brings with it some security challenges, because that is very important. And a country with a vast coastline, with points of entry, so government wants to make sure the country's security is paramount in this, because the idea is to streamline the process, immigration process. So I think the objective is basically unification of laws. As I mentioned, the three issues were there. Have a stringent visa and registration norms. And of course, strengthen the Bureau of Immigration. I mean, right now, the administrative structure or the bureaucratic structure in place would be more streamlined. So we'll have a Bureau of Immigration which deals with, because right now also some acts are done, but they are sometimes under security agencies or different,
right,
as you also know, part of Home Ministry.
The Home Minister, during his reply in the debate, he said that those who want to visit India for tourism purpose, for healthcare, for education, for business, for R&D, they are welcome. But those who come illegally or those who come to threat the country's security, they will be dealt with firmly. So how do you see to this statement of the Home Minister?
Well, I think it's a very apt summation, because he does talk about what you mentioned, the three or four broad categories of people who come to India for tourism purposes. Tourism also in variety of places, whether it is health, whether it is ecotourism, whether it is coming as, various aspects of that. But they are welcome with due process of law. But if you are here to create trouble in the country, that is, you'll be dealt with. And if you come in a manner in which you are not legally valid, any country, it's a sovereign right of the country to allow people inside the country, and the due process of law has to be followed. So people who come here remain as lawful under the rules and laws of the country. And if anybody tries to violate them, in fact, there are strict provisions, as you know, in this bill, which talks about if you overextend your stay beyond the permissible limit of your visa, there are provisions which we can come to later. But yes, security is a concern, because with a country like a vast coastline of 7,500 kilometers, there are several points. And I think we all know how this has to be secured.
So as you said, the stringent provisions for those who violate the visa provisions. And there are provisions also for those who obtain passports illegally. So those provisions are looks like very stringent. So in the present context that India is bogged by the issue of illegal immigrants. So do you think that, you know, this bill will help to tackle those problems?
Well, I think, you see, there are two aspects. One is to make sure that people who come to this country have legal documents to come and stay in this country. And that has been properly explained. And I said, there are certain regulations for foreigners which have come in that includes mandatory registration so that, you know, they know who, where they are headed to, where they're going to stay. Hotels have been asked. There'll be restricted areas in which the foreigners will not be allowed because certain areas are restricted for people of foreign origin to go, or there'll be protected areas, including institutional reporting. That means the foreign registrations. And now for the first time, I think it has made it almost mandatory for universities, hospitals, educational institutions, hotel accommodations.
I'll come to that also. Yeah.
So I said, basically, you're trying to it, and that's why you have penalties. Your penalties, if you're caught, as you mentioned, there are offenses you commit. Overstaying is one.
Yes.
We'll come to that later if you say. But unauthorized entry, you don't have a valid document, you're caught. So you better be ready to face up to 5 years of imprisonment.
Right.
And fine of 50,000, 5 lakh rupees. That's because fine or a penalty has to be a deterrent. It has to be deterrent. And 5 lakhs is that. And I think in case of a document forgery, if you're caught with having come into this country.
Up to
with
7 years of jail.
7 years of jail and 10 lakhs.
10 lakhs.
So it's a pretty, pretty steep fine.
Yes.
So people will have to be prepared or think many times to even entertain the idea of getting into it. And I think also what is important, overstaying, which we talked about, there'll be violation of overstaying of 3 lakh rupees of fine and imprisonment. And of course, one of the most important is abetment of illegal immigration. That means individuals who are resisting in immigration violations will face the same penalty as that of the offender. That means if somebody within the country is helping
those illegal immigrants, they will be prosecuted.
They will also be facing severe prosecution.
Right. As we talked about the mandatory reporting by the hotels, universities, and other educational institutions about foreigners visiting those places. So do you think that compliance, responsibility of those organizations have gone up?
Well, they have to comply. The rules of the laws of the land will have to be followed. And also, of course, there are rules in place already in which most institutions, especially hotels, and report to the government or the local police. They have to send a report. I think, if I'm not mistaken, most of it will become online because nowadays everybody does an online reportage. So it's much easier. The moment you come and check in a hotel, and you're nowadays, it's very common for a hotel to ask for the travel documents.
Right.
If you're a foreigner, your visa and passport are both checked at the point.
Yes.
You have to submit them. Mm-hmm. They keep track of it. I think all that will kind of automatic compliance will have to come in. I think as for educational institutions also, it has been added because India has become a hub for people coming from other countries.
Yeah. And hospital also.
Hospital, of course. Medical tourism has been a very, very
big business here.
And if you go to some hospitals, you see, especially in the private sector, you find their whole wing is dedicated to international tourists.
Right.
And they cater to international tourists. Not only it's right from, they make sure that right from the airport or wherever point of entry to the point of exit, everything is facilitated.
Right.
So that it's more of an industrial work.
Right.
And many people come to in this country because of the inexpensive rate in which they can get treated instead of where they are, or either the facilities are not available or are pretty steep. So I think that is one reason. When the Home Minister did reply, he did mention all these factors and he said India is moving towards becoming by 2027 we want to go up in the economy as third largest economy.
And by 2047
as the developed economy. So all these things, and most importantly, we are also welcoming highly skilled people come to India, researchers come to India, people to teach, people to...
You talked about R&D.
R&D, so research and development. So all these are factors, they said the government kept in mind. And in fact, I think he did mention some to the effect that it took almost 3 years for the Ministry of Home Affairs to draft this bill.
True, he did say that. Also, during the debate, there are speakers from the opposition parties. Basically, they criticized the bill and they said the bill should be referred to either standing committee or select committee. So, but government didn't accept those suggestions. So how do you see the opposition's criticism to the bill?
Well, an opposition is expected to analyze the bill the way it interprets. In fact, it's a very common thing. It could be on party lines or a point of view which is contrary to the government point of view. That's how a democratic process does happen.
Right.
And I think it's well within the rights to ask for the bill to be referred to a standing committee or a joint select committee. Most members in the opposition who spoke today did talk of it. And of course, the government, I think the Home Minister did mention that it took almost 3 years for the bill to come to this stage. And one of the BJP members of parliament participating in the debate did mention that some of the recommendations were were made by a standing committee of parliament, Ministry of Home Affairs, which deals with. One or two was recommended by the Law Commission. So there are several reports or one estimates committee or I think had made some recommendation or suggesting that some of these laws need to be streamlined or, you know, made more efficacious. So in a way, suggesting that this was a well thought out process. Well, criticism will be there. There were issues the opposition members raised about the if there was any element of especially living penalties or who is going to adjudicate and all that. I think those were issues to which I think the Home Minister did mention the fact that it's not going to be an arbitrary decision, but it will be a decision taken, a well thought out from inputs from various agencies.
The bill also provides for the abolition of four laws, which we have talked about. Now, out of these four laws, three were pre-independence eras. So how do you see how much in the significant of this move that, you know, we are abolishing three laws which were enacted before independence?
Well, I think the Home Minister himself replied that these three laws which we referred to, the 1920 Passports Entry into India, the Registration of Foreigners Act 1939 and Foreigners Act 46 were pre-colonial laws made by British India. That means the Britishers who in their parliament was made laws for the country.
Right.
But post-independence, we had to kind of, there have been several issues that must have come up. So the comprehensive law was there. So, and he didn't mention this fact that Indians today, when this law was being considered and the Lok Sabha passed this bill. So he mentioned that this is now being made by Indians in India and in the new parliament.
Indians.
And for Indians, the new parliament building. Right. So he said that is the significance as you look forward. So I think, yes, colonial laws did exist, and if you look in the last 10 years plus, the Prime Minister Modi's government has repealed a lot of old laws to make India in synchronized with the way in which the direction of everything and also the larger framework of how the government should
governance.
Of government in Delhi and more of governance.
Yes, right. Also, as you talked a few minutes ago regarding this, you know, restricted areas in India. So that, you know, provision remains. That means you, a foreigner, just no one can come and travel to, you know, areas, certain areas in the northeastern region, in the Jammu and Kashmir, in certain pockets in the Himachal Pradesh, even in Rajasthan. So those provisions are still there. So how do you see that?
Well, I think, again, it largely depends on the security issue, because there are concerns about some areas which are sensitive, or we have our own security concerns in that area, and allowing foreigners in that area may not be always advisable, because the government, you have to apply. It's not that they're not banned.
Yes.
They're not banned.
Yes.
You have to apply for a permit.
Restriction
is there, and this does exist in several countries at the same time. In fact, in our neighboring country, if you try and visit, your visa is to a particular city. It is not to anywhere.
Right.
So there are restrictions, but that is there for our law. But here also, these restrictions are already there. So one has to apply, and if the government finds merit in your reasons to travel, you are given permission.
Now the international airlines are also given the mandate that they will have to provide the list of the passengers.
Yeah, I think again, Chinto, if you notice, this came up under the Immigration Carriers Liability Act, which came in the year 2000, post the 1999, I think.
That is the only law enacted after independence.
Yeah, and in this century.
Yeah, right.
In the turn of this century. Yeah. So I think that also gets incorporated. By that, if you travel and you have traveled both within country and outside, the moment your plane is touching down in a foreign airport, you are expected to fill an immigration form, and the data is submitted by the airlines to the immigration officer, who is the first point of entry.
Right.
So every country has its own way of looking at it. I think we already have that in place. It's just that putting that law in this new bill, so that when it becomes a law, as you said, it becomes a comprehensive law.
There were around 98.4 lakh people, tourists, visited India in last 1 year. So do you think that, you know, this bill will help? Because there are, you know, compliances, there are, you know, rules and regulation, more stringent law. So do you think that this will be a deterrent for the foreigners to travel India, or this will ease travel to India?
Well, I think if the government intention is, as it was mentioned, is to ease travel facilities and allow across the board sectors to come in, not just students, health, people who come for tourism, people who come for religious tourism, people who come for various aspects of, or just backpackers do come to, all kinds of people, high-end travelers come to India. There are destination weddings happening in several places. So this is to allow Once the rules are clear and transparent, it's much easier for anybody who wants to visit India and travel to India. Everything is in one place. You don't have to depend on travel agents or unscrupulous elements to try and... No, everything is black and white. It's transparency that needs to end. And I'm sure India wants more tourists. As it is, the Home Ministry figures show up, there has been a rise in tourists. And India should attract more tourists. That is one way. And the more it's easier, if there are more transparent ways, I think it's going to definitely show on the uptick.
Thank you very much, Mr. Prasad.
Thank you very much, Ashin.
You were listening to a discussion on features of Immigration and Foreigners Bill 2025. The participants were K.V. Prasad, political analyst, and Achinta Bora, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of Akashvani.